Welcome back. We are, this is really part two of our discussion from last week. Joshua's spy mission 2.0. And we spent last week looking at, our goal is to compare the spy mission that Yehoshua sends it right at the beginning to Jericho and all that transpires with the spies themselves to the story of Moshe's mission of spies. And to do that, we need to have a better understanding of what Moshe sent, what he did, what worked, what didn't work, and where it went wrong. Because the assumption is that where Moshe went wrong, Yehoshua went right. That is the assumption. That is why Yeshua's mission does not end in failure. It ends in the beginning of their entrance into the land of Israel, and they come back with a positive report, and let's go, and we're ready, etc. So the assumption is, and typically the understanding of the story of the spies, is that whereas Moshe's spy mission went wrong, Yeshua's went right. And by the end of today's shiur, I'm hoping that we will have a better understanding of both of Moshe's.
Excuse me a second. I don't think Moshe's was a spy expedition. You don't send 12 people marching in.
Hang on a second.
And
hang on.
Call them spies. To
I'm
me, it's
hold.
Like staking out. They were
just give me a second. Okay. I hear what you're saying. Give me a second. It's called Meraglim in Sefer Dvarim. They refer to them as Meraglim. I'm going to leave the terminology for a second. We will resolve it. We will analyze both of those. You are correct. There is a question as to what Moshe's mission was. But typically we talk about the Meraglim of Moshe, and that's how we classically refer to them. We talked about the fact that in the language of the text in Sefer Bamidbar, the word Meraglim doesn't appear. They seem to have a different purpose. But in Sefer Dvarim, it clearly does appear. And they're called Meraglim, and they're called the Lachporat Ha'aretz. So we will address that question. I just want to quickly review for everybody where we left off. So where we left off last week was we asked a series of questions, the classic questions, I would say, on Moshe's the mission as it appears in Chumash, both in Bamidbar, in Parshat Shlach, where it's not really Moshe's mission, if you will, it's God's mission, right? God speaks to Moshe, and the repeat or the description of that same episode as it appears in Devarim, where they're clearly identified as Miraglim, so says Moshe, calls them such. And we asked a bunch of questions as to the contradictions between the two events, the two episodes as they are, the single episode as it's described in Shmos, Bamidbar, and as it's described in Devarim. So let me just pull up that chart. My computer starts to do glitchy things today because I can't. Then I will. We'll figure it out. All right. Can everybody see this source page? Okay, it's the same source page as last week. We pulled it up. I'm actually going to put it into the chat, but it's the exact same page that I had posted last week. And what we had outlined here was based on, we read through the story of the people that Moshe sent in Parshat Shlach, and the story as it appears in Sefer Devarim. Let's just a quick review of the Psukim in Devarim for a moment before I go back to that page. You all came to me and you said we want to send people to search out the land, lachpor, to dig, to see the land. And they will bring a word back, a message, which way we should go up, the cities we should come to. It pleased me, and I took 12 men, one from every tribe. They came to Nachal Eshkol near Hebron, and they spied it out. And there, the reference to the word l'ragel, to spy, appears clearly. They took of the fruit of the land, and they returned, but they did not want to go up to the land. V'lavitem la'alot, they rebelled, and in the end, and this is where one of the issues that we raised, after God decreed that you, or that generation, would not enter into the land of Israel because of their rebellion, the Pasuk says, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Gam bi hit anaf Hashem biglalchem lemor, gam ata lo tavo sham. Not only was the mission such that the result was that Bnei Yisrael couldn't enter the land, at least in Devarim, God is angry at Moshe as well, and it seems to imply that God was angry at Moshe for the sin of the spies, and therefore designated Yeshua to bring them into the land of Israel. The Abarbanel argues that that is in fact the case, that Moshe's sin was the sin of the spies, whatever that is, we still have to figure it out. And therefore, and the sin of the hitting of the rock was only almost a cover-up, if you will, out of respect for Moshe. But Moshe himself makes it clear that there is a juxtaposition between God's anger at Moshe and the sin of the spies, as we refer to it, Chet HaMeraglim. So I shared with you this chart, which is a kind of a summary of all of the different nuances that appear in the story as it appears in Parshat Shlach, whose initiative was the mission. In Devarim, clearly, Vatikuvun Alai Kochem, you approached me, and you said, let us send people. In Parshat Shlach, God approached Moshe. There's no reference to the conversation with Israel at all. God says to Moshe, Shlach Lecha Anashim. Rashi, we saw last week, tries to combine those two ideas and suggests that when God said to Moshe, Shlach Lecha, he meant, I'm making it optional. The people want to do it. If you want to do it, I'll agree, but I don't request it. I don't recommend it. Ramban and many of the other Mefarshim say that's not possible. How could the command, Shlach Lecha, be optional? The phrase appears so many other places in Chumash. The purpose of this mission in Parshat Shlach is described as Latur et Haaretz, to see the land with their eyes. In Parshat Dvarim, Liragel, to spy out the land, or Lachbor et the land, to spy it out, dig it out, to understand it. The language is different, the purpose is different. The distance they go in the Parshat Shlach, they're described as going all the way to the north of the land and therefore requiring 40 days to do so. And in Parshat Devarim, there's no reference to a journey 40 days length. It only talks about going up to Nachal Eshkol. And then ultimately the question of whether Moshe has any role to play in this story. And that's where we left off. I shared with you at the very end of the shiur, and that's what we're going to pick up today, that there is a suggestion. It's written up as a magnificent article. It's in Hebrew, so if the Hebrew is not a challenge to you, you're welcome to look at it, by Rav Yaakov Medan, in a periodical on Tanakh called Megadim, Volume 10, in which he analyzes the whole story of the Meraglim of Moshe, and basically shares the thesis I'm going to start with today. And suggests, and this is where we left off last week, that in fact, it wasn't one story described from two perspectives or two different stories altogether, as some suggest, but in fact, what was intended to be two different stories, but they were combined. Meaning that initially, what God requested in Parshat Shlach was a very different kind of mission. What God had requested in Parshat Shlach was, by God's command, a mission. We still have to explore what it is and what was its goal, but it was praiseworthy, it was intentional, it was very much part of the plan for their entrance into the land of Israel. It was Latur, and it had a particular, let's call it a spiritual, intentional, elevated task or mission. And at the same time, there was on the half in Dvarim, Perek Aleph, at the same time, Moshe describes how the people also had a kind of mission of their own, an intention of their own, to send people, Luagela to Aretz, to spy out the land for whatever purpose that is. And these were described as almost two separate jobs, two separate roles. One God wanted and one the people wanted. And they were very different. And what we need to do is we need to unpack what it was that God wanted Moshe to send and what it was that the people wanted to do. Moshe's mistake was in, as he describes in Devarim, Vayitav Be'enai Hadavar. It seemed pleased to me. And I said, okay, fine. So I combined them. And that's essentially the thesis, that Moshe combined these two into one mission, and in so doing, doomed both to failure. And that's where the chet comes, not only of the people, but also of Moshe. And the question is, where do we start? So what to understand the mission as, let's start from understanding the mission as God intended. God says to Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Shlach lecha anashim v'yaturu et Eretz Kanan. Send, forget the word spy, that's a mistranslation, send people to see the land. Latur et Eretz. Who do you send for this mission, although we haven't defined what its purpose is, but God states exactly who he wants. He wants ish echad lemate avotav tishlachu. You send one representative from each tribe. Kol nasi bahem. Each one of a nasi of the, not a, just a prince amongst men in terms of his stature, but the nasi was a particular role. The nasiim were the nasiim of the shevet. They were the heads of the tribes. The word nasi for each shevet was the leader of the tribe. Now, those nasiim are identified earlier in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. This is already, I would say, a younger, maybe a next generation, unclear, it's only 2 years apart, the names are different, but nonetheless, Moshe sends these, Vayishlach otam Moshe mimidbar Paran, api Hashem, by God's command, this is not some request of the people, this is api Hashem, kulam anashim rashei bnei Yisrael hema. They are leaders of the people of Israel, leaders of their tribe. If they're not the Nasi, they are the, let's say, the second, the Sgan Nasi, right? The second in line. They are certainly people of stature, significance, and most importantly, one per tribe. Kol Nasi Bahem. To what purpose does God command Moshe to send these people? Now, in our in the classic typical understanding of the mission, as Rashi points out, or as Rashi takes it, they were sent to spy out the land, and therefore Moshe gave them instructions, and he says to them, this is the mission as it's described, Uitemet Haaretz, go check the land, go see the fertility of the land, but also check the people and check the cities and check how fortified they are and how strong they are, etc., and whether they're in fortresses or in camps. That this was a mission, a classic spy mission as described. That's Rashi's understanding. And what we're suggesting is that, in fact, this was not intended as a spy mission at all yet. What was it intended as? If it's not a spy mission, what was it? So the answer to that question requires us to see a couple of sources. Number one, this is not the only time we have a gathering of 12 leaders, one from each tribe, as it relates to the land of Israel. I'm going to take you to Bamidbar Perek Lamed Dalet, chapter 34 of Bamidbar. In chapter 34 of Bamidbar, we find the following. The first half of the chapter, we actually looked at a couple of weeks ago, where it describes the borders of the land of Israel. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Tzavet Bnei Yisrael V'Emarta Alehem, Ki Atem Ba'im Al Eretz Kanan, you're coming into the land of Kanan, Zot Aretz Asher Tipol Lechem Benachala, this is the land that is yours for your inheritance, Eretz Kanan L'Gvuloteha, the borders of the land of Kanan. And what ensues in this chapter is a description of the boundaries of the borders, what I call the box, the land of Canaan between the Jordan and the Mediterranean, there's a little bit of a spillover into the land of Sichon, up to, let's call it the land, the area of Lebanon today, perhaps, and south to the Negev or to Nachal Mitzrayim. This is the borders of the Gvulot of the land of Israel. Jump to the end, okay, 2.5 tribes on the eastern side of the Jordan, and the rest on in the land of Canaan. Next paragraph. Vayedaber Hashem u Moshe l'mor. Remember, this is Perek Lamed Daled, is the end of the 40 years, right? This is the we've jumped forward 38 years post the next generation. Says God to Moshe, Eile shmot ha'anashim asher yinchalu lachem et ha'aretz. These are the names of the people who will, in a kind of public ceremony, divide the land for the people of Israel. Eleazar Kohen v'Yoshua ben Nun. Why Yoshua? Because he's taking over from you, Moshe. So to divide up the land, you need the next leader of the people. V'Nasi Echad Mimateh. It's exactly the same language almost as in Parshat Shlach. One Nasi per tribe. You will take Tikhulin Cholat Ha'aretz to divide the land for its inheritance. And these are the names of the people. And now you have a listing exactly, it reads almost verbatim as it reads at the beginning of Parshat Shlach, except for different names. Lemate Yehuda, Kaleb ben Yefune. Lemate b'nei Shimon, Shmuel ben Amihud. Lemate Binyamin, Elidad ben Kislon. And so on and so forth through the names of all of the tribes, Nasi per tribe. Ein la'asher tziva Hashem lenachel et b'nei Yisrael be'eretz Kanaan. In other words, the purpose here was to divide the land of Israel, each in accordance with their tribe area. In fact, I'm going to go back one step. Go back to Pasuk Yud Gimel for a moment. Vayitzav Moshe b'nei Yisrael l'mor, zot ha'aretz asher titnachalu ota. This land, all the borders that you will describe at the beginning of the chapter, this is the land that you shall inherit bigoral, with a lot. Meaning, how is the land of Israel divided up amongst the tribes? Think about it for a moment. If I have a lot, what does that mean, I have a lot? It means that you, some sort of arbitrary determination based on the lot of where each tribe would go. So I draw lots. Okay, the first section is going to be the area of Yehuda and the area of what we south from Yerushalayim down to the Negev. Throw the lots, and up, oh, that goes to Judah. Next lot, throw the lots like throwing dice, and the next piece of land which will go from Jerusalem, let's say to Beit El, oh, that goes to Binyamin. Is that how it worked? What was the purpose of the goral? Because if that's how it worked, why do I need a formal ceremony with all 12 leaders of the Nesi'im, or at least 9 leaders of the Nesi'im, Nesi'echad, Nesi'echad, Lashavet? Why do I need 9 leaders of Nesi'echad, Nesi'echad, Mimateh, if I'm using a goral to determine the division of the land of Israel? Evidently, you needed both. You needed goral, you needed some sort of divine stamp of approval, and that was the purpose of the goral, but you also needed a public ceremony of each tribe to identify or to connect with their land. I'll show you how this plays out, okay? So follow me for a moment. This is Bamidbar Lamed Daled. Let's just jump forward in Sefer Yehoshua to chapter 18. Okay, so you see where I'm going? We've been discussing the division of the land of Israel by its tribes in Bamidbar. We're jumping now to Yoshua, where this is implemented. Now, a little bit of just a background. In the first, between the beginning of Sefer Yoshua and chapter 12, Yoshua is leading the tribes of Israel on a kind of a national campaign to control the land itself. And the deal with the wars that ensue, I'll show you that as we go through the chapters. In chapter 13, Yeshua is at the end of his life. Yeshua Zaken Ba Beyamim. God says to him, Ata Zakanta, you are old. Ha'aretz Nisharaha Be'mi Od Levishta. The land is still not yet conquered and settled. Zot Ha'aretz Anisharet. And here he lists the land that is settled, that is remaining. And he tells the tribes, okay, go and settle, conquer and settle the land that you have been given. In chapter 18, Vayikalu kol adat bnei Yisrael shilo. Yoshua does something remarkable. He takes the Mishkan, which is in the camp of Shiloh, camp of Gilgal, and has been there since they entered into the land of Israel, and he moves the Mishkan to Shiloh. And part of the reason he does that is because every time a tribe goes and sort of stakes out, attempts to settle in their territory, they keep running back to what I would call base camp, which is the area of Gilgal. And so Yeshua is trying to push the tribes to settle in their area and to conquer their territory. And so he takes the Mishkan and he moves it to Shiloh as a way of breaking the camp at Gilgal and saying to the people, okay, you need to move on. And between chapter 13 and chapter 18, only two or three of the tribes, Judah, Shimon, and a little bit of Binyamin, there's only a few of the tribes that have actually gone and settled in their territory. The rest of the tribes are sitting around the camp. They're like not moving. So Yeshua says to them, "Vayomer Yeshua b'nei Yisrael, ad ana atem mitrapim? How long are you going to be slacking? How long are you going to procrastinate? You have a mission to do. Lavola reshet at the aretz, to go and conquer the land and settle in it. Shenatan Hashem lakei avotechem. So now I'm giving you a challenge. What's the challenge? Havu lechem shlosha anashim l'shavet. Go bring me representatives, three people per tribe. Ve'eshlachem, I will send them. Ve'yakumu ve'yitalchu ba'aretz, they will go and they will walk the land. Sound familiar? Send people to walk the land. Ve'yichtavu ota lefi nechalatam. And write down, cartographers, write down, map out what area belongs to you in your tribe, so you know where to go. V'yavo elai, and bring this mission, this summation to me. V'yitchalku ota l'shiva chalakim, and they will divide the remaining land to the seven tribes, because Yehuda yamod agvulo minegav. Yehuda already went and conquered their land in the south, so that's done. Ubeit Yosef yamdu agvulo mitzafon, and Ephraim and Menashe and Yosef Binyamin have already taken their land north of Yerushalayim. But the rest of the tribes are sitting there in base camp in Shiloh. So now go and divide right up. Cartographers, map out the land. Now listen to this verse. And then you come back. And once you have a list of all of the tribes and where they're going to go, we will draw the lots before God. Now, explain to me something. If you draw out each tribe, map out their territory, what do I need the lot for? And if the goral is to determine the territory, what do I need the cartographers for? Why do I need both? And the goral needed the coin, it needed the Urim v'Tumim, it needed the coin, which is why in Bamidbar, God says to Moshe, in this public ceremony with the goral, you're going to take one representative of each tribe, and you're going to take Elazar HaKohen v'Yeshua ben Nun, because you need it, the general, the leader, and you need the coin, because that's what you're going to do. You're going to map out the land, and you're going to have a goral. How does that work? So the answer is very simple. The broad strokes division of the land of Israel by tribes was not arbitrary. It was not determined by lots. The broad stroke division of the land of Israel was of which tribe would settle and live where was set out by whom and when. The broad strokes of which tribes would live where was set out by Yaakov on his deathbed in his blessings to his children. Parshat Vayechi, in which Yaakov begins to list all of his children and some blessing to them, whole mystery, what he's trying to accomplish in this blessing. But the simplest explanation of these blessings is that Yaakov was given, when you're on your deathbed, you write a will. And in that will, you give over your possessions. Well, the only possession Yaakov had to give his children was the future land of Israel. So he gave them the future land of Israel, which was his will and testament. That's exactly what he gave them. He divided the land. But in so doing, he says, number one, Shimon and Levi, because of their weapons of violence, I'm going to separate them. I will separate them and divide them so that they don't have their own portion of land. Levi later redeems himself in the story of Cheta Egel. Levi redeems himself somewhat, so they're given a special status, but still divided. Where do the Levim dwell? 48 cities scattered throughout the land of Israel. And Shimon, surprisingly, doesn't get a tribal territory. Shimon never gets a Shevet, a land of their own. If you look at the division of the land of Israel by tribes, here's a division, here's the layout of all the tribes, and Yaakov's blessings to his children are exactly that, who would dwell where. And Shimon, he's divided. Shimon doesn't have his own territory. Shimon is given five cities inside the tribe of Judah. And we'll see that in Sefer Yeshua, it's very clear. Shimon says to Yehuda, I'll go with you, and Yehuda gives him five cities because he didn't have his own territory. Because that's exactly what Yaakov says, Achakem b'Yisrael. And then so on and so forth. Judah is given the tribal area that is full of wine and grapes, which is the area of Har Yehuda. And Binyamin is the area of the Shekhinah. We'll talk about that later in Sefer Yeshua. Zvulun l'chof yamim yishkon. Zvulun will be in the Jezreel Valley, Emek Yisrael. Yisachar chamor garem. Yisachar is further south in the actual valley. Zvulun comes a little bit up to the coast. Yisachar is a stubborn donkey lying between the sheep, between the borders, because he's in the valley of Emek Yisrael and he has to protect it, and so on and so forth. Dan, Yehi Dan Nachash Aleiderach Shifon Aleiorach Hanoshechi Kvesus V'Yipol Machmo Achor. Dan, who is given a portion of land on the coast where all the Canaanites are, and all of the chariots of with the horses of the Canaanites are, and therefore his blessing is that he should be like the snake that's able to bite the horse so that the rider falls and defeat the chariots of the Canaanites, and so on and so forth. It's Yaakov's blessings were a division of the land of Israel. So if they had the division by tribes, why did they need a goral? What do they need the goral for? Both here in Bamidbar Yud Gimel Lamed Daled, one representative per tribe, as well as in Yeshua Perek Yud Chet, Yeshua says to them, go and map out your territory. How do they know where to go? Because Yaakov told them where to go. Yaakov divided the land. They knew exactly. They knew that Asher was in the north, and Naphtali was in the north, and they knew that Issachar was in Emek Yisrael, and they knew that Zvulun was by the coast. They knew exactly where to go. Then why do I need the Goral? And here's the basic thesis, that to divide the land of Israel up according to its tribes, you needed two things. You needed to identify cartographers, map out, okay, the border is generally speaking in this area, but generally speaking in this area doesn't help. You need specifics. You need to know where the border of Benjamin ends and the border of Ephraim begins. You need to know where the border of Dan ends and the border of Yehuda begins. You need to know what cities belong to which tribes. You need to know how the land looks. And so they send people, leaders of each tribe, to map out their territory, to write it down, says Yoshua. Yichtevu ota lefi nachalatam. And then you need God's stamp of approval. Then you need God to say, correct, Goral, this tribe, this land, this area, these cities, this border. That's how it worked. That's exactly what God sets out in Bamidbar Lamed Daled. There's a Goral. Here are the borders of the land of Israel. You know more or less where each tribe is supposed to be. Yaakov set that out. Now go and map it out, and here's the Goral to tell you God's final word on the matter. But the massive mission to map out and assign each tribe to their territory, and each was this mission of Nasi Echad Mimateh. You couldn't just take any representative. You had to take the leaders of the tribe to assign which tribes would live where. You needed the leadership of each tribe to sign off on the territory assigned to it by God. That was the mission God sent them on in Bamidbar, Perek Yud Gimel. Exactly that mission. Shlach lecha anashim v'yaturu et eretz Knan. Let them go and see the land. Nasi echad l'shavet. One person, one leader per tribe. L'mateh. Kol nasi bahem. The most prestigious leader of each tribe, so that the people will accept the resolution, the decision as to which tribe belonged where and what their borders would be. That was the mission. For that mission, you absolutely needed 12 representatives, because you need a nasi echad lamateh. You need one per tribe. Not only that, who do you send on such a mission? Do you send, let's say, a couple of forward Marines, commando units to kind of spy out the land and crawl in camouflage? Or do you send representatives, elder statesmen, who have the respect of the people and who can go and identify this is the tribal area that we as a people are going to conquer? This is, you can have larger land, portions of land and smaller portions of land based on the fertility of the land, based on, right, ultimately it's how large the tribe was, how much fertility, how much produce the land could carry. And so you needed very specific division, and you needed a goral to give it its final approval. That was the message. This mission was not to spy out the land. It was to see the fertility of the land, to see the division of the land, and to assign it to its tribes. And so Moshe sends them, and he says to them, you have to go through the north, south, east, west, the entire land, and you have to check it out. But careful here. Skip this verse. Okay? Go to Pasuk Yutet. Maha'aretz. For that mission, you need to identify the land, the quality of the land, the intensity of the fertility of the land. Is it land that is fat? Is it land that is lean? Is this area an area that can sustain does it match the bracha that Yaakov gave them? And for that, you have to go north all the way from the south all the way to the north, and you have to go through the entire land. But for that mission, you do not need to enter into a city. It's not the inside of the city. It's not the fortifications of the cities that is in question here. This is not a conquest mission. This is a cartography mission. That's the big difference. What happened? At exactly the same moment, more or less, same place, in Devarim Perek Aleph, the people come to Moshe, and they say to Moshe, God said, go and conquer the land. But to give one like Kochem, Vatamru, you said to me, Nishlacha Anashim Lefaneinu. We want to send people. We want to send a mission of our own. Whether they knew about the other mission, didn't know about the other mission yet, unclear. But doesn't matter. We want to send a mission of our own. For what purpose? B'yachbu lanu ta'aretz. We want a spy mission. God said to us, Alei Resh, go and conquer. A conquer means you're going to have an army and you're going to fight a battle and you're going to fight an army and you're going to conquer a city. So we want to know, we want Yachbu lanu ta'aretz, we need to send a spy mission. We need to know at the derech ashena leba, we need to know which road to take, and we need to know which city to conquer first. V'tarim ashena bo'alein. We need to know whether the cities are strong, whether they're in fortifications, whether they're walled cities, are they open cities, is the army strong, is it not strong, how do we approach each city? We need a battle plan. We need a battle plan. Now for a battle plan, think about it for a moment. I'm going to stop sharing for a second. For a battle plan, a military reconnaissance mission, not a cartography mission, who do you send? Well, I can tell you who you don't send. You don't send 12 elderly statesmen. And you don't send them north, south, east, west through the entire breadth and length of the country. And you don't send them into the cities. You send cartographers, surveyors. Whereas for a spy mission, reconnaissance mission, you're going to send a very small number of people, commandos, forward soldiers, who are going to enter. They have a very limited role. Their task at the coming up from the Negev is to see the very first city they are going to enter, which will be Hebron. And they're going to have to assess it and determine its weak links, its weak points, its strong points. Where is its sources of water? So that they can know whether they're going to besiege the city, if it's a walled city. If you're conquering in the context of a military mission, Alei Resh, you need to have all of the pieces of what an army needs to have, which is proper intelligence and proper reconnaissance. Today we have drones. They had spies. And these were two very different missions. One, latur ta'aretz, the other, lachbor ta'aretz. One, to survey the land to divide it by the tribes, representatives of every tribe, elder statesmen respected by each member of by each tribe. For this, for the reconnaissance mission, you needed a small number, maybe two. You know, I'm not going to send one because something happens and they're stuck. Right? You always send at least two, maybe three, young, unidentified, secret mission. What happened? Moshe was so confident in their ability to conquer the land because of his relationship with God and everything else that comes with it. So what happened? Moshe had a thought. You know what? God is sending a mission of 12 representatives of each tribe. You want to send mission too? Fine. You know what? Says Moshe, but Tikkun Elaykochem, you all came to me. I said, fine. I'm already sending. I took the 12 representatives of each tribe and I sent them on their way. And I gave them instructions. Now, the instructions are not here in Devarim. The instructions are here in Bamidbar. But if you look at Moshe's instructions, you hear his synthesis of both missions. In addition to the land and the borders of each tribe and the fertility of the land, he also said to them, in addition to Item et ha'aretz, he said, Ve'et ha'am. Take a look at the people. Take a look, are they strong? Are they weak? Are they living in fortifications? Habimachanim, b'miftzurim, are they in camps? Are they in strongholds? Are the cities walled? Are the cities not walled? And bring back the fruit so that we can have the survey and the cartography and the maps of all the tribes. We need both. Moshe combined the missions. And the moment he did so the 12 tribes come to the city of Hebron and they enter into Hebron and now they're spying out the land. Now it's 12 spies, Nasi Echad, Nasi Echad, Nashavet, when the rest of Israel is sitting on the other side of the Jordan. You can't hide them. You can't hide 12 spies, elder statesmen walking around in the city and checking out its sources of water and its weak points in the walls. That doesn't work. And so they're discovered. And from that point forward, they're going to spend the next 40 days walking the length and breadth of the land. They're going all the way up north. But they've been discovered. And so they come back after 40 days walking through the land after all that has been said about them. They come back literally shrinking in fear because the inhabitants knew who they were and what they were. They were discovered. Their mission as spies confounded their mission as cartographers, and it doomed both to failure. So says God at the end, he says in Dvarim, when Moshe is reflecting on the story, he says, "And therefore God was angry at me, because I was the one who combined these missions together. I took Vatikuvun, your spy mission. I took Shlach Lecha Anashim, God's mission of cartographers and dividing the land of Israel, the representatives to divide the right the Goral. I combined them. And therefore I doomed it to failure." And that is the reason, that's the story of the spies in Chumash.
That means
Spies,
that they
cartographers.
didn't, sorry, that means that they didn't determine the properties, that they didn't, so when did that happen?
So that's to an extent an attempt to happen, right? It probably didn't happen here because they just refused to go. So it's supposed to happen, but Bamidbar Lamed Daled, Moshe says to do it again,
Oh, okay.
right? And then in Yoshua, Perek Yud-Chet, when that still doesn't happen completely, he sends the mission again. That's exactly
What did
the.
they do for 40 days? If they went for 40 days,
That's. They what they did for 40 days was sit there in fear of the giants that they saw of the north and south. That's exactly what they came back with. That's what they came back with and said that the land is good, the land is fertile, but guess what we saw? We saw in Hebron, the first city, Achiman, Sheshai, Talmai, we saw giants there. And we saw, you know who we saw? We saw Amalek. Doesn't take much. Just the word. You saw Amalek, right? Right from the beginning, they saw Amalek. That's it. The people are done. You want us to go and to conquer Amalek? You want us to walk through the city of giants? You want us to walk all the way? Not going to happen. And so, right, the rest of the story is Ephes, Giazam, the people are strong and they sit in the walled cities, and the cities are fortified. And there's giants there, and Amalek is in the south. Okay. So the story's over. The story's over before it began. That's Moshe's mission, and it failed. Okay, I'm going to close this for now because we don't need it, and we don't need this, and we don't need this, and we don't need this. And now I come to the question with which we began. Yeshua crosses is about to cross over the Jordan, and he sends mission of spies. And Yeshua learned the lesson of Moshe very, very well. He's a disciple of Moshe. He knew exactly what Moshe did wrong and what the people did wrong. And so what does he do? He sends a very different mission, very limited in scope. Vayeshlach Yehoshua ben Nun min hashitim shnayim anashim miraglim. He sends how many? Why only two? Why not all 12? Because this is not a mission like Shlach Lecha. This is a real spy mission. This is real reconnaissance. This is real conquest. This is two spies, Miraglim, Cheresh, in secret, because we don't want to make the mistake last time when they were discovered. So we sent two very able, very young, very capable spies. And he sends them on a very limited mission, l'churu'u et ha'aretz et Yericho. Just Yericho. That's the. Now, they're not coming from the south, so they're not coming up to Hebron. They're coming from the east, so they're going to cross opposite Yericho. So the first major walled city they're going to come to is Yericho. Yericho is a walled city. Everybody remembers that, right? Yericho is a walled city. They come to the house of Rahav, and her house is between the walls, right? Yerucho is a walled city. Last week we talked about the word zonah. It doesn't necessarily mean a harlot as we have in modern Hebrew, but rather a mazon, from the word somebody who provides provisions, like a hotel. Right? That was the entrance to the city. There was a hotel. Historically, they may have been connected, but nonetheless, Vayavo Beit Isha Zonah, and her name was Rahav, and there they lay, there they remain. And we'll come to the rest of the story in a moment. But just to understand this mission, what do they need to find out? What's on their agenda to, what's their checklist? What's their checklist? So their checklist would be the walls of the city. Their checklist would be the strength of the army of the city. Their checklist would be, you know what you need to know before you conquer a walled city? You need to know its water sources. Critically important in every siege in history, you need to know the sources of water. Chizkiyahu, the famous Chizkiyahu's tunnel that goes into Yerushalayim, because he knew that the city was going to be besieged and he needed to bring the waters of the Gihon into the city itself. So he moves the right, builds that whole tunnel. You've all walked through it at some point, I'm sure. I hope you have. You need to know where the city is, where the water sources are. Here's an example. Here's Shmuel Bet. I'm going to jump to Shmuel Bet for a moment. Perek Yud Bet. This is the end of the story of the war with Ammon. They've been sitting around the siege of Ammon for over a year. And it's also what leads to the story of Bathsheba, but that for now is not our issue. They've been sitting around the city of Yericho for a year, and finally, the instructions are to go and take the city. So Yoav fought against the people of Ammon in the capital. And they took the royal city, the city of, this is very contemporary news, I guess you could call it. Right? They took the capital city. And before they could actually finish the siege, Vayishlach Yoav Malachim al David Lemor, and he sent a message to David, who's in Yerushalayim, and he says, Milchamti b'Rabah, I fought against Rabah, v'gam lakadati et ir hamayim. Whoops, sorry about that. I have conquered the city of the water. What do you mean, ir hamayim? It just said ir hamalucha. Why is it called ir hamayim?
Of course.
Says the Radak, fascinating observation. Ir Shehamelech Yoshevba, the city is called the capital city because that's the city where the king sits. In the great Ir Hamayim, and it's also called the city of water. Shobiotah Ir Hayu Hamayim, Velo B'Shar Ha'ir, because it was like an enclave in the city that had the water sources. Sheyoshev Ba'am. Where the rest of the people are sitting in the cities of a more open place. Right? But the Ir HaMayim was a separate city. It was a walled city, a separate location. And that's where the king was. That's where the fortress was. But the water source had to be there. And so Yoav conquered the Ir HaMayim. Once you take that, HaAcheret Nochal Kabesh, once you take the water source, the rest of the city will fall. And so he calls to David to come and finish the task. But you understand, that's exactly the issue. When you set a siege to a city, you need to know its weak points. You need to know where its water sources are. You need to know where its walls, how its walls are built, because you're going to conquer it. So Yeshua sends two spies secretly, and they come to Rahav's house. All right. Adkan, this is. Now we finish the comparison to the spies of Moshe. And now I have a simple question. Was the spy mission of Yoshua a success or a failure? And so from everything we've identified so far in this verse, I would say it's the exact opposite of what Moshe's mission was, which would lead me to assume it was a success and it was exactly what Moshe's mission failed to do. Yoshua succeeded. Except for a problem. What's the
Oh,
problem?
they were discovered.
They were discovered. Nebuch. They were called out. Vayamal, I love this phrase. Vayamal Melech Yericho. It was told to the king of Yericho. Who told them? Revealed the mess, the intelligence, right? Who revealed the secret? Who told the king of Yericho? It doesn't say. It was told to the king of Yericho. I have a theory. I'll share it with you at the end of this year. Hinei Anashim Bao Alayla, there are people who came tonight in the middle of the night. Lachbor pa'aretz, the same language, the same words used by the story of the Meraglim of Moshe. Lachbor pa'aretz. They came to spy the land. They came to seek at Yericho. And remember, they're still in the house of Rachav. So they come knocking at the door of Rachav. Where are the people? You go and find us. And Rachav, to her credit, she took them up to the rooftop. She had them hide in the rooftop. And then she went to the people and she said to the king's army, they left, they're ready through the gate, go and chase them. This is the gate's going to close. You got to get back before the gate's closed. Right? So they run out of the city and they go chasing into they go chasing after them towards the yard. Because if they're going to go back, they're going to go back to the yard. It was discovered. In the meantime, she took them up to the rooftop. And what does she say to them? Listen to her speech to them. Yadati ki natan Hashem lechem et ha'aretz. I know that God has given you this land. V'chi naflai matchem aleinu. Your dread and your fear has come upon the inhabitants of the land. V'chi namogu kol yoshvei ha'aretz mipnechem. The inhabitants of the land, their hearts have melted before you. Shirat Hayam, there's that phrase, namogu kol yoshvei Kanaan. Right here again, namogu kol yoshvei ha'aretz. Why? We heard all about Kriyat Yamsuf. Shirat Yam, Namogu Kol Yoshvei Kanaan. Here it's the same phrase. We heard all about Kriyat Yamsuf when you left Egypt. And we heard all that you did to the kings of the Amorites on the other side of the Yarden. We heard Vayimas Levavenu. Do you remember the phrase used in the Chet of the Meraglim in Parshat Shlach, Achenu heimasu et levavenu, our brothers made our hearts melt. That was what Bnei Israel said about why they didn't want to go up to the land of Israel. Now Rachav says to the spies, it's the opposite. Vayimas levavenu, we are the ones whose hearts have melted. We have no strength. We can't fight you. Hashem Elokechem Elokim b'shamayim mimav el arts mitachat. God is the one above in the heavens and the earth below, and therefore the land is yours. You're going to conquer it. I have only one request, says Rachav. Yishava li b'Hashem. I make one request. I did kindness to you. I spared your life. Asitim gam atem im bit avicha said. You deal kindly with us and with our father's house. Unatatem li otamet. Give me a true sign. Hachiyotem et avivetimi. Keep us alive. Spare our lives. We were kind. We saved your lives. You save ours. And the response of the spies is exactly correct. They totally accept what she says. V'imula anashim. We will do exactly what you say. So she sends the. She lets them down out of the way. You understand? These were commandos. These they could climb walls. They could scale walls. She let them down by the window, and she says to them, "Go into the mountains and hide for 3 days because they're searching for you." And their response to her is, "Fine, thank you. Leave this thread in the window." And now listen very carefully. You take all of your household, and if you want their lives to be spared, you bring them into this house. This house is going to be the safe house. Outside of this house, I can't promise what's going on. And so she lets them down out of the window. Her house was literally between the two walls, so she could, through the window, let them out. On which side of the city did she let them out the window? The city side or outside the wall side? Outside the walls, because she sends them into the mountains. All right. So I have a simple question. Let's read what happens when they come back. They come back from the mountains. They're there for 3 days in the mountains. And after 3 days, the army, the king's men, give up looking for them. So after 3 days of hiding in the mountains, they come down from the mountain. They come back to Yehoshua ben Nun. They tell Yeshua all that transpired. So here's my question. They were sent on a reconnaissance mission. Wall, inhabitants, strength of the army, water sources. What reconnaissance intelligence information have they brought back? Answer. None. None. Because they were
Only
discovered.
one.
No,
Nobody.
that's not true.
Wait,
Only
wait,
one.
wait, wait, wait. I'll
Only
get the
one.
Pasuk of Dalet in a second. That's not reconnaissance. That's not intelligence. That's a different issue. But from the mission as it was sent out, set out before them, lachpor ta'aretz, to find the water sources, to find the weakness in the wall, to find the weakness in the, to find the method by which to conquer the city, they came back with no information. What they came back with was, Yehoshua, God has given this land to us. The inhabitants of the land, their hearts have melted. They are not a, they are not, they are, they acknowledge our relationship with God. They acknowledge our power. If you look at Shirat Hayam, it's as if Shirat Hayam of Shmos Perek Yudalid is a Teret Vav is now here. They are literally melted and ready for us to enter the land. So here's the question. What information about the walls did they discover? None. What information about the waters, water did they bring back? None. They were sent on a reconnaissance mission. They came back with a spiritual message, which is the exact opposite of the spies of Moshe. Moshe's mission, spies, was sent on a spiritual mission, and they came back with a negative reconnaissance intelligence mission. Yeshua's spies were sent on a reconnaissance mission, on a military mission, and they came back with a spiritual message. Neither was successful, but they're mirror images of each other. But Yeshua's message was equally unsuccessful, Yeshua's mission, because he sent them as spies, and they came back as Nisim. They came back as the land is ours. But he sent them as spies. In fact, I can show you something very interesting. How in the end, actually, at this point I can stop sharing. How in the end was, what were the instructions given by the spies to Rahav to save the lives of her family? There's the chut, there's this thread. And then, if she wants to save anybody in her family, where should she put them?
The house.
The house.
In the house. Fine. And the house is between the walls.
The wolves, yeah.
Fine. How did Jericho get conquered?
Oh my God, the walls fell. The walls
Correct.
fell down.
In other words, if you want a safe house in Jericho, the absolute last place you would put anybody is in a house that's inside the walls, because the walls are going to come, as the song says, tumbling down. Which means that they did not know how Jericho was going to be conquered. They had no idea that the walls were going to be taken out by God. They had no idea. The plan hadn't been given to them yet. The plan will be given to them in Perek Hey. For all they know is they're going to conquer Jericho with a siege, the same way they've conquered and they will conquer any other walled city by siege. And so they go on a reconnaissance mission. And logically, if you were going to besiege a city and you want to save the lives of people, you put them into the house that they can get access to from the outside. Hence the thread and the window. They don't have a clue. And I don't think Yeshua has a clue that the intention here in the city of Jericho, God says to him, I will take care of the walls. But the walls, the giant earthquake that brought the walls down, are going to bring the house of Rahav down too. Unless by some miracle the house is spared. But that's not the intention of the Meraglim. For all they know, it's Aleh Resh, they're going to conquer. And so everything about this mission is a failure from the perspective of the intended mission Yeshua sends them on. Because it's the mirror image. Was Moshe sent them on a reconnaissance spiritual mission, a spiritual mission of cartography, claim the land for yourself in the Vayatur et ha'aretz. Look at the land, embrace it, divide it amongst the tribes. They came back with the land is strong, the cities are fortified, the army is too strong for us, we're done. And they failed. Yoshua's mission was the exact opposite. Send them on a mission to reconnaissance to spy out how are we going to conquer Jericho? God didn't tell him to send spies. Didn't say God said to Yeshua, send spies. Yeshua sent the spies. Should he have? Debatable. In this case, they were discovered. And because they were discovered, what they found out was simply Rachav's message. And that's all they bring back. Rachav's message that the people of the land of Canaan are afraid. The land is ours. God is with us. We can conquer, which was exactly the message that exactly the message that Moshe's mission should have come back with. So I'll leave you with this. We have absolutely no idea who outed the spies to the king of Jericho. But I would not be surprised if God himself sent somebody to tell Jericho, the king of Jericho, that the spies were there. Because the purpose of those spies was not to discover the way in which the walls would fall, but rather just the message that Rahab conveyed, which was that Namogu Koyesh Ve'etna. And so I have no proof of that whatsoever, but that's my guy. Every time I read that phrase, that the king of Yericho was told, by whom? God came to him in the middle of the night in a dream and said to them, these spies, get them out of here. And that's exactly what they do. Rabbi Zai, next week, B'ezrat Hashem, we start chapter three.
Rabbi, I have a
Yes, sir.
support for you. I'm supporting you because that's what the two spies did to hang it outside would really worked if Hashem told the king through the dream that the spies are there.
Right.
I think
Anyway.
that, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I think that we see today, even with the wars that are happening in Israel, it's motivation, you know, that inspires an army to fight. So I think that the fact that they came back and they said that the people are afraid, which means they will be afraid to fight, that's a very important information, you know. So I don't think that it's
It is for sure.
I don't think it's spiritual. No, what I don't think, I think it has a lot to do with military strategy to see if the people have a motivation to fight or not.
I think that's true, but that wasn't the mission that they were sent to discover.
What did
And
you
it wasn't. It
say,
might have been true. That's what they came
Rabbi?
back with. But it wasn't the message. It wasn't the checklist that Yeshua gave them. So throw away the checkbook, the checklist, throw away the mission book, and you come back with a new set of rules, new set of rules of engagement.
Very good.
Sounds
Thank
like
you,
it's
Rabbi.
very
Intelligent.
Thank you, Rabbi.
My pleasure. And Leslie, we will see you all, Bezrat Hashem, next week.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Sure.
Thank you.
My pleasure.